thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. Today's reading is from Psalm 106, 1 through 13, and we'll be doing 43 through 48. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all his praise? Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it became dry. And he led them through the deep as through a desert. So he saved them from the hand of the foe and redeemed them from the power of the enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. But they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. Verse 43 starts. Many times he delivered them, but they were rebellious in their purposes and were brought low through their iniquity. Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. He caused them to be pitied by all those who held them captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's do that one again. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be in your house today. I thank you so much for this church, for this blessed flock. I would just ask your blessing upon Pastor Jose and upon us as we receive his message. And thank you for all your goodness and your steadfast, enduring love for us. In Christ's name, amen.
One of the things I hear, especially with some of our older members of the congregation, not to say that there are any here right now, especially when we're trying to memorize scripture verses, is Oh, you know what? I can't do that. My mind at this age is incapable of memorizing verses that are longer than three words. And what I found is that if you put time, effort, and energy into memorizing, you will remember. And you'll be able to remember when you need to remember. However, we as people, we have a problem. We are forgetful, right? We don't want to forget certain things, and sometimes we remember the things that are meaningless, right? And it just comes up at any given time. And the mind is an amazing gift that God has given us, because it's able to categorize and file certain things that are important, not important. For most of us, we remember holidays, birthdays, anniversaries. We remember the passing of our loved ones. And we do our best to celebrate when those dates come up. But here's the condition of the human experience, that when you and I experience any degree of fear, we will choose to forget. Right? And we might be sitting here going, that might not be true. Here's what I do know, right? It's like, the more we walk with God, the less we do it, but we still do it. Right? And that's what I would call spiritual forgetfulness, right? When all of a sudden the world, our flesh, or even Satan himself presents us with a situation that we will utterly forget what God has done for us. And we will pursue what we think is right. Right, and sometimes those choices and decisions that we think are so right, we end up finding out that they are so wrong. So we're looking at Psalm 106. As I said last week, 105, 106 are Psalms that go together. 105 talks about the God who is faithful, who keeps his covenant promises, and 106 ends what we would call the fourth book of the Psalter, and this portion is a book that reminds us and reminded the Israelites of when they were, I believe, in captivity in Babylon. Right, and they wanted to come home. We don't know who the author of this psalm is, right? But it's a psalm that begins in the way that Psalm 105 ended. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right, but all of a sudden, what we have in the psalm is a litany of all of the sins that the Israelites committed against God. Now, this was a time where God was present. God was physically present. They experienced the saving of the Egyptians crossing the Red Sea and watching them be destroyed. And on the heels of all of that, they forgot. And they forgot quickly. And then God punished and corrected. But in the end, God did not forget because he is a God of mercy, right? And here's the one thing, right? It's when you and I tell our testimonies to anyone, what's the one thing that is highlighted, right? Not just how good God is, right? Because that's a true statement. He is good, right? But what we tend to highlight is how merciful he was towards you and towards me. Right, and sometimes you and I surprise ourselves that even as we walk with him and we've been faithful with him, that when our back is pushed up against the wall, we choose something other than God. Right, and here's the thing that you need to remember as we dive into this psalm, right? That as we are forgetful, he is not forgetful. And to that, you should say amen, right? That he is a God that doesn't forget, that he is a God who comes through, right? And you'll see that as we go through this psalm. So here's one of the things you should know, right? So the beginning and the end are like bookends. They tend to reiterate what was said at the beginning. And then the middle is the litany of all their sins. Right. And yes, sometimes we read them and we say, right, it's like, how can they choose that? How can they choose to turn their back on God? Here's the one thing. You and I would choose the same thing if we were put in that position. It's not to think of ourselves any different. It is why we need God to step into our lives. Yes, as I said earlier, the more we walk with God, hopefully, the more we choose him. However, there are certain times where we don't. It is why we have that time of confession, right? And here's the one thing we want, God's mercy, that he would hear and intercede on our behalf and that we would be able to receive that forgiveness, but also to have that assurance that it's done. So when we look at Psalm 106, there are eight pressing sins that the nation of Israel committed. And here's how you have to categorize them. There are eight sins that are mentioned within this psalm, but they happen in three distinct places. One, as they were exiting Egypt. One while they were in the wilderness, in the desert, and then one as they were conquering the land that God had promised them, the land of milk and honey, right? And here's what you need to picture yourself as you hear the author in captivity in Babylon, right? And he wants God to do something despite the nation of Israel, right? Because they are in captivity because they sinned against God, right? So this is why you will hear the psalmist pleading. He is looking for something, but he's looking for something for all the people. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all his praises? Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all time. Right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord is how it starts. Right? And he tells us right off the bat, right, that the Lord and the Lord himself, he receives our praises because he's good. He's good and his steadfast love endures forever, right? It is a phrase that reminds us that God is going to keep his promise despite us, despite the Israelites, right? And sometimes as a human being, right, it's like sometimes you and I feel that pressure, right, that God wants you to walk the narrow road. And you look at that road, you go, I don't want to go down that road. You want, Lord, you show me what's at the end of the road, and maybe then I'll go. Right? But he says, trust me. Trust me. Blessed are they who observe justice and do righteousness at all time. Right? It's a call to live a certain way. Right? It's a call that everything you do, every decision you make is a decision that ultimately reflects a relationship with the Holy God. Now, eventually at the end of the service, we'll be coming to this table, and Paul tells us to examine ourselves before we partake of it. Right? And are you living a life that reflects your relationship with God? Right, here's the psalmist. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor on your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in your gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Right? It's, you can hear the psalmist, he's writing it out. Right? It's, and he's looking for something, because through his relationship with God, he knows that God is good. But there's a place where he's at that he doesn't want to be at. And he's saying, Lord, when you show up to save your people, don't forget me. Remember me, O Lord. And as I've said in the past, every time you see the word Lord in all caps, right, that's Yahweh, and what you're supposed to upload in your thought life, in your prayer life, is that that name, Yahweh, is the God of the covenant. Right? God made a covenant with Abraham. He kept it with Isaac. He kept it with Jacob. And he's a God that kept his promise. Right? And if he kept his promise, he's going to keep his promise with us. Right? It's, but the psalmist wants God to remember. Both we and our fathers have sinned. There it is. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous work. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea, at the Red Sea. Imagine experiencing all the 10 plagues and then being led out of Egypt to come to the Red Sea and at that moment say, did you bring us out here just to die? You should have just left us where we were, right? And all of a sudden what we see, right, that it's in the midst of God doing an amazing work, they forgot, right? And here's the thing, you and I are no different, right? Don't think you're that much more spiritual, right? And yes, right, it's like, you might be saying, no, that's not true. We have a problem, and that is this fallen nature that you and I have, and that's why he uses that word iniquity, right? Because that word iniquity has to do with our deprived nature. Right, it's that if push comes to shove, right, there's a good chance we're going to choose something other than God. or want something other than God. And every day that you and I walk with God, the hope is that we would choose Him as we walk in this process of sanctification. And that the more we do it, the more likely we'll choose God. But ask yourself, why do you withhold that truth ever so slightly? Why do you sometimes just twist it in such a way that it leans a certain way? Right? Why is it that sometimes we withhold information when we should be telling the whole truth? Right? And it's because fear creeps in, right? And all of a sudden, at that moment, it's more about us than what God wants for us. Yet He saved them for His name's sake, right? Not for their name's sake, right? For His name's sake, for the Lord, because of His covenant promise, because of Yahweh, that He might make known His mighty power. He rebuked the sea, and it became dry, and led them through it, the deep, as though a desert, right? It was dry. Right, my mind can't imagine that, right? Because Scripture says that it was dry. That means that if you touched it, it was almost like powder, right? And you know that when the sea and when the tide pulls out, right, it's wet, right? But God made it so that they would be able to walk on dry land. So He saved them from the hands of the foes and redeemed them from the power of the enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries, not one of them was left. Then they believed His word and they sang His praises, right? They saw, and then as a result, they believed and they sang a song of praise. But is that faith? No. It's because they did and responded, right? It's like, God did the 10 plagues, right? He showed up, right? Why didn't they believe then? Right, and but despite them, He saved them. And it wasn't because of them, it was because of His name, His promise that He made. But they soon forgot His works. They did not wait for His counsel, right? And that's where the rub is for me and for you. Because when life hits us, guess what happens with us? We forget, right? Because at the end of the day, God's word has to have an application to your life and to my life, right? And yes, for some of us, there are many times we don't forget and we hold on, right? But we'll see, even with Moses, right? That in the midst of anger and frustration, right? It's his actions caused him not to go into the promised land, right? Moses. The guy who talked to God face to face, right? Even he blew it. Because we forget. Right? So the next verses that we're looking at is their forgetfulness in the wilderness, right? And there are different situations, and we'll just go through them real quickly. Right. But they have wanted, craving in the wilderness, but God, to put God to the test in the desert, He gave them what they asked, but He sent a wasting disease among them. Right? Remember, he gave them manna according to Numbers 11 and also in Exodus, and he gave them food. And that wasn't enough. And also, and they started complaining, right? And they started saying, we want some meat. Wasn't life better in Egypt? We had fish. We have this. We had garlic. We had so much in Egypt, right? And God, discerning their sinful desire, he says, you want meat? I'm going to give you meat. I'm going to give you exactly what you want, right? He said, I'm not just going to give you meat for one day. I'm not just going to give you meat for a week. I'm going to give you enough meat in one day for a month, right? That you're going to choke on it, right? And then in light of that, I'm also going to give you your heart's desire. And that's what that disease is, right? That God sent to pass judgment on them, right? Because they weren't satisfied with what God had given them. They wanted more, as if God was withholding something from them, right? So as I said there, right? So they go from the craving to a grave, right? And then in the midst of it, God would relent, right? And when men in the camp were jealous at Moses and Aaron, the holy ones of the Lord, and the earth opened up and swallowed up in Dathan and covered the company of Abram, fire also broke out of their company, and flame burned up the wicked. Right? This is a story of Korah, and this is where they were jealous at Moses and Aaron. Right? And they were saying, well, who put you in charge? We should be in charge. And also in scripture says like 250 of them got consumed, right? Because God is the one that chose Moses. God is the one who chose Aaron, right? And to be jealous at Moses and Aaron is to be jealous at God, right? Because you're questioning what he has done. And then remember the story after the Exodus when Moses is up, right, in the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. And they waited long enough, and all of a sudden they made a calf at Hobra and worshiped the metal image. They exchanged the glory of God for an image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, right? So even though we can see where in the previous verses, God was honoring Aaron. Aaron, through most of his life, he blew it, right? But here, the people didn't see Moses for a while, then they got anxious, and they created something from their experience back in Egypt. Let us create an oxen, right? And God, at that moment, wanted to just wipe them out, right? And all of a sudden, what we see is Moses standing in the gap for them. Wondrous works in the land of Ham and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said he would destroy them had not Moses, the chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them, right? And here's one of the mysteries of God, right? It's if God is sovereign and God has a plan, can you and I, through our request, change his mind, right? But here we have scripture showing us that Moses interceded on behalf of them. And maybe that was part of God's plan, to see if Moses was going to step in there for them, right? Because we also see that with Abraham, right, as they're going to pass judgment in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot's there, right? And all of a sudden we have Abraham saying, hey, if there's 10 righteous, would you, right? And he goes all the way down to the one. Here's the thing, right? That if you have an opportunity to pray for someone or for God to do something, I think you should take that opportunity to pray. They despised the pleasant land, having no faith in his promise. They murmured in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. Right, that's when Moses sent 10 spies from the different tribes into the promised land, and they came back, except Caleb and Joshua. They were saying, no, you know what? We got God on our side. We can take it. And everybody said, nope. Right, and all of a sudden, because of that, they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness, right? Until all of them who supported that idea passed. Right, it's amazing when you look at where they wandered, right? It's approximately 13 miles, right, to the promised land. So for 40 years, they were so close, right? Right. Therefore, he raised his hand and swore to them that he would make them fall in the wilderness and would make their offsprings fall among the nations, scatter them among the land. Right. So every time they questioned God, right, that was a sin against God. And as a result, God passed a judgment, but he preserved them. Then they yoked themselves to Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. They provoked the Lord to anger with their deeds, and a plague broke out amongst them. Right? This is where, as they're starting to go into the promised land, they started to intermingle with the Moabite women, right? And if you was to read Numbers 25, there is a scene there when one of the men brings one of the Moabite women right near the tent, and all of a sudden Phinehas stands up in anger, right, and he kills both of them, right? And Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stayed, and that was counted to him as righteousness from generations to generations forever. So his priesthood was secured. But here's the thing, right? We're not called to be that kind of witness in today's society. And right, because we're not called to take a spear and spear anybody that is living a different lifestyle than you and I. All right, that's we're supposed to present God in a different way, right? And sometimes in a humble way, right? And as we show God in a humble way, what happens is we need to trust him as we step into these situations, right? And they angered him at the waters of Meribah, and it went ill with Moses on that account, for they made his spirit bitter, and he spoke rashly with his lips. Right? So God told him, even though God was upset that they were behaving the way they were behaving, and God told Moses, okay, you know what? I'm going to make water come out of the rock, but then the Israelites' bitterness got Moses hijacked, and he spoke in an ungodly way. In other words, he represented God poorly. And as a result, Moses was not permitted to go into the promised land, right? And here's the thing, even though people around you might behave ungodly, that does not give you permission to present God in a way that he shouldn't be presented. Right? We're still whole to that accountability. They did not destroy the people as the Lord commanded them, and they mixed with the nations and learned to do what they did. They served their idols, which became snares to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. They poured out innocent blood and blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the Canaanites, the idols of the Canaanites, and the land was polluted with blood. Right? God told them, as they conquer the land, destroy all of the Canaanites, and they destroy some of them. Right? It's like, you know what? We did enough. Right? And eventually, after time, you know, they're not that bad. And they started to commingle. And eventually they led them to the worshiping of the Canaanite gods. And those Canaanite gods require flesh, right? And all of a sudden they started sacrificing their sons and daughters, right? And God would say, what are you doing? Right? This would be a reminder of the events of Genesis 4 with Cain and Abel, where the ground is still speaking, right? As we are reminded in Hebrews. Sometimes our error in decisions or the lack of a decision leads to a horror. Thus, they became unclean by their acts and played the whore in their deeds. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his heritage. He gave them to the hands of the nations, so that those who hated them would rule over them. Their enemies oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their power. Many times he delivered them. Right? We see that in Scripture over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. The same thing can be true for you and me over and over and over again. He steps into your life and my life, and he rescues you. He is the God of not just one chance, not just two chances, but of many, right? And through all of that, he wants to get our attention. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled, they forgot in their purpose and were brought low in their iniquity. Nevertheless, right? And there's not sometimes a better word than this word, nevertheless. He looked upon their distress and heard their cry, right? That's like saying, despite you. When you cry and that cry comes from that place deep in your soul, that's what I'm going to hear, and that's what I'm going to respond to. And also, and at that moment, I'm going to remember my covenant promise, and despite you, I'm going to save you. Despite you, I'm going to step into your life. Despite you, I'm going to make your life uncomfortable, so that you would turn, right? And all of a sudden, we're reminded that that's the God of mercy, the God who is steadfast in love, the God who's relentless, not because he has to, but because he wants to, and he made a promise to himself. Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress, and when he heard their cry, for their sake, he remembered his covenant. There it is, right? So when you ask yourself, why would God do what he did? Why wouldn't he wipe them out? Because of his covenant, and relented according to the abundant, steadfast love, right? And here's an amazing thing, right? that even when the Israelites were taken into captivity, right, he would say, right, through the work of his Spirit, he has caused them to have pity, right, to feel sorry for. Like the captives of the Israelites would feel sorry for the Israelites, right, by all those who held them captives, right? God saves them despite them. God saved you and me despite you and me, right? Right, and here's what the psalmist says as we are reminded of where he started. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us among the nations that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Right? To save us. And at that moment, you should be thinking of Jesus, Emmanuel, the one who saves. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say amen. Praise the Lord. Right? Despite that horrible history, God is faithful. And as he is faithful, I am the recipient of his faithfulness. Right? Because when I stop and think of my life, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I fall short every day. My tongue just comes out with some of the most wicked stuff. And if I don't say, you should hear what's in my mind. Right? And as I say that, you should hear some of the stuff that's in your head. Right? Especially when somebody cuts you off. Or you go to the store to go get that coupon deal, and all of a sudden they say, we're all sold out. Can I get a rain check? Nope. Like all of a sudden you get hijacked. What do you mean? No. Right? And then all of a sudden it's like, give me at least something. Right? And nope. Or sometimes it's our kids, right? And our kids are living and behaving like kids. Right? And all of a sudden, as we are trying to correct them, right, it's we ourselves are acting as kids. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say amen. Thank God for God. Amen. Amen. Right? Because he is the one that has helped us, right, in overcoming this forgetfulness. Right? He is the one, right, who stepped in our place, that substitutionary atonement. He is the one who made a way where there was no way. He is the one who is faithful. And he's the one that leads us to this table, right? A table of where we remember, right? And grateful that scripture tells us to remember. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body given for you. And then a little later on in that Passover meal, he took the cup, the third cup, the cup of redemption, and he said, this cup represents my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sin. So as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my saving death until I come again. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful. Grateful for this table, for the elements. Grateful for this wafer in place of bread, the grape juice in place of wine. I pray that you would set it apart, that it be to our faith, your body broken, your blood shed. Lord, help us now as we commune with you. We thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.